I'm going to be talking about perspective. This whole month has been a theme of perspective. And before this month began, this is September, right? Lose my months. In August, the Lord spoke to me and he said, we're going to see a revival of perspective. How we see things. How we think about things. Because more than anything, I want to see how Jesus sees. More than anything, because I know how I see. I didn't walk in much grace. I saw black and white. If you weren't living a great life for God, then you weren't living for God at all. If you fell, you fell out. That's a high standard. One I couldn't keep myself. But that was a perspective I had as a child, as a young adult. No mercy, no grace. Until I fell flat on my face. Wow, that changes your perspective in a hurry. And you say, oh, thank you, God, that you don't think like I do. Thank you, God, that you took the time to come here to this earth to bring new perspective, to bring new vision. In all the testimonies we've been hearing, we've heard perspectives that have changed only because of God. He is the one that does it. We all grew up in a way that brought a perspective and a view of life to you. Now, we've heard a lot of different perspectives from different people because they had different parents. I can proudly say I was very blessed. Very blessed. Because this woman was a woman of mercy and love. My dad was too, but he passed when I was 16. He loved kids. He loved people, but he loved kids, as you can tell, there's seven of us. But he loved too. Well, one of my best friends that now calls herself my sister grew up in the exact opposite situation. Grew up with two abusive parents in different ways. She was abused in every way possible. So there's the gamut. How did you grow up? What are your perspectives? How do you see people? How do you view life? Do you view it from worry and fear? Or do you view it from mercy and grace and love? How do you see? So that's what we're talking about today. I think I have like one of the longest introductions like ever, just so you know. Now, I'm also talking about praise today. And I'm gonna quick run through the seven ways that we praise. Quickly. So if you put up the first slide. And most of these, I think probably most every one of them you saw today. Halal. To jump, dance, to be loud and clamorous. Was that today? Okay. My jump is more of a I'm not allowed to jump if you don't know that, but I'll tell you a little bit about that later. Yada, to throw your hands up and forward while making a confession about God. Praise, I saw people with flags. We saw that today. Todah, to lift your hands in thanksgiving. Did we do that today?
Yes.
Yeah. Shabbat, a loud, joyous shout of testimony. Did we do that today? Yes. We thank him. We praise him. Next slide, please. Zamar. I'm having a hard time reading that all the way up there. To worship the Lord while playing an instrument. Did we do that today?
Yes.
Yes. I wish I could play instruments better. But I use this instrument. Did everybody use their instrument?
Yes.
Yeah. Barak. To kneel in reverence and submission. Now, I'm just going to say something real quick. I have a big scar on my knee. Kneeling's not comfortable. But it's not necessarily just kneeling physically. It's a heart condition. Kneeling before my Lord in humility. I think Matondo prayed this morning, Lord, let us come with humility. It's a heart condition. Same with honor. I loved Natalie's last week. And by the way, thank you, Natalie. She covered quickly for me last week. Thank you. And Tehillah, to sing a spontaneous, unrehearsed song of the Lord from your spirit. Did we do that today? Yes. Okay, so we did it today. Do you do it every day? Do you focus, do you worship every day, every moment of the day? That's what we're talking about today. That's why I quick ran through these, is what are you looking at? What are you coming into agreement with? If it's the situation that you're in, whether good or bad, are you in agreement with that situation, or are you in agreement with your Lord and Savior who has everything for that situation, who has the answer for the situation? What are you looking at? If we're praising and giving thanks, the songs today like spoke my message, by the way. No matter what's coming at us, are you giving thanks? Because if you're giving thanks, it's really hard to be stuck on a situation. Right? Really hard. We tend, when we say, oh, thank you, God, you provided again. You're not looking at lack. You're looking at more than enough. Let's use one that's close to my heart in worship. I've heard over the 30 years I've probably been doing this, I'm not really that old, but I've heard many reasons why I don't worship. One of the best ones, I don't like the songs. Now, everybody knows music is subjective. There's lots of types of music, and there's a lot of types of fun music, different styles. But are you worshiping music?
No.
No. I'm not here to worship a song. I'm here to worship my Lord and Savior. Well, I don't normally do those types of things. So you never go like this? That was hard. Can you do those seven things? I'm meddling a little today. Love me. I love you. Okay. So, just a quick few little verses. Psalm 34:1. You've all heard them. I will bless the Lord at all times. That is Barak. That is the kneeling in reverence. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise, Tehillah, shall continually be in my mouth. Continually. Where's our focus? What are you looking at? What's your perspective? Psalm 103:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Mind, will, and emotions. Everything, with all that is within you, bless his holy name. Now, this is an interesting one that I found and stumbled upon, and I like it. 2 Timothy 2:4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. Not just the bad things that are coming my way. I think we kind of get into battle a lot. Sometimes it's the good things that we get entangled in. What are we looking at? Do we take those good things and say, praise you, Jesus, and have it become our testimony that becomes our praise when the bad things are coming our way? Because all too often, have you ever wondered why the Israelites were kind of a little hard-headed? Or is it just me? How many miracles do you literally have to witness to believe he's going to do it again? No, instead they said, Lord, take us back to Egypt. Are you kidding me? But what were they focusing on? They focused on the lack. I'm thirsty. Okay, he has given you water all the way through the desert. And you don't believe when you move that he'll do it again. I'm hungry. He gave them manna. He gave them fowl from the air. He gave them meat. He literally provided their every need. And they forgot. So I was literally in Israel thinking this. I went to Israel when I was much younger. And God said, well, you're the same way. That was a kick in the pants. But if we're praising and we're worshiping all the time, if his praise is continually in our mouth and on our lips, what are we doing? We're remembering what he has done. We're remembering. We're bringing it to remembrance. When God gives me words, I write them down. Because I take them out and 20 years ago, I'm like, oh my Lord, I forgot about that one. And I watch him do it over and over and over. If his praise is continually on our lips, we will remember. It takes our focus from what's happening everyday life to him. I suppose I could read the rest of this verse. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him. I want to please my Lord. I want to please my Lord. So, since we're talking about perspective and vision, I want to ask you, what colors your vision? Is it everyday life coloring your vision? So now you see that way. Is that how you see everything? Does everyday life cloud your vision? Does how you grew up cloud your vision so that you can't see with clarity? I think we have lots of counselors on this planet because we're all dealing with things that came at us from the time we came out of the womb. How do you see things? What is coloring your vision? Now, can you still see? Yeah. But you see differently. Everything goes through that filter. Now, great example, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin. Well, this is the way we've always done it. This is the laws. These are the things we do. We can't walk this far on this day. We can't do this on this day. Jesus, if he's the Lord's returning, he's coming back this way. And they couldn't see truth standing in front of them. He was literally, physically standing in front of them. And they couldn't see or hear truth because they had predetermined thoughts that prevented them from hearing or seeing truth. Now, growing up in the church, can you put that up, please, for me? Predetermined thoughts, so you can read it again. Maybe. It is a slide on there. Anyway, growing up in a church, you can grow up, here's how God's going to move. And you put him in your little box. I'm like, Lord, bust my box. Amen. I don't want a box. Amen. Bust, because I don't want to predetermine what he can do. Because if he is only as big as my imagination, why bother? I hope he's so much more, and I know he is. Because he keeps showing me daily new things about who he is. He even said that to Mary and Martha after Lazarus died. Love that story. Because they're like, why didn't you come? And he says, you knew me as a healer. You knew me as the teacher. Now, you're going to know me as resurrection life. Hallelujah. Yeah. I want to know that. I want to have him say, no, now you're going to know me this way. Now he's going to blow out my perspective, my box, again and again and again and again. Now there were only a few Pharisees mentioned, I'm hoping there were more, that could, because their eyes were on God, not on their laws and their traditions. And there's a Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea. Yeah. There's two whose perspective was that of God, not of a religion. So there, you can do it. You can. Let's look at something good real quick. We're still in the introduction, by the way. 2 Samuel 6, 14 to 16. Sorry, I jumped around on you. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his strength. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with joyful shouting and the sound of the trumpet. Gotta love how 16 starts. Then it happened. As the ark of the Lord was coming into the city of David. Now, the reason I like that, then it happened, there was a choice right there. A choice that was colored by perspective, by a predetermined thought. Then it happened, as the ark of the Lord was coming into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down through the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And then this, and she was contemptuous of him in her heart. Wow. What a perspective. She was taught from her childhood what a king should be doing and what he should look like. But it was the wrong king. Earthly king. What about the King of Kings? David, his perspective was, I don't care who I am. I am worshiping, and he worshiped with his whole heart, along with Israel, bringing the Ark of the Covenant to the city of David. Are you seeing through, is your vision being colored by something that you can't even move when the Lord's moving? Are you seeing and looking, go, well, that's not God. Oh. Just because it doesn't look like something you're used to. How are you seeing? What are you looking through? What are you looking at? What is your perspective colored by? By the way, she was fruitless the rest of her life. Because of perspective. Her body was unfruitful. Lord, break my box. Break my box. To use one of Bruce's, I loved when he spoke about being unresponsive. Michal was completely unresponsive to the move of God. Completely unresponsive. Even after David confronted her, she was completely unresponsive. And she let those predetermined things that she was taught bring contempt in her heart for her husband. Should I meddle a little bit more? So, I was listening. I like to listen to. I've always, ever since I was little, I listen to something while I study or while I work. I always have something on. Music, a movie, and I listen to sermons on YouTube all the time while I'm working. I know, it's this brain. But I was listening to one of Bethel's, Bill Johnson. Love that guy.
Yeah.
And listen to this quote. I had to stop. I was working. I had to stop and write it down. I'm just like, this is good. He was talking about the awe of God. And he said, when I lose the awe of God, I am much more inclined to critique my environment and be more easily offended by what doesn't go my way. When our focus isn't God, when we are not praising continually, we start looking around. Then he goes on, he goes, I thought it was funny. He goes, now of course, I would never put it that way. It would be by what doesn't go God's way. So we get spiritual with our criticism. And then he says this, if I can offend, or excuse me, if I can hide my offense in the will of God, then it justifies it. Offenses have been given permission to stay because there is reasoning developed outside the wonder of God. Yeah, that's what I said. Wow. So he's not saying offenses won't come. He's saying you're giving it permission to stay. And I'm like, oh, Lord. I want my box busted. No permission for offenses. Because it's going to happen. But Lord, I don't want them. That's not what I want. I don't want that, an offense coloring my view. Oh, I don't like this speaker. I can't listen to them. Now, if you said that today, don't tell me. But is that coloring your view? Oh, I don't like this worship leader. I won't be able to worship today. Because it's all about the worship leader. I don't care who's up there. I'm worshiping. Because I'm not worshiping them. I'm not worshiping situations in my life. I am not worshiping people in my life. I am not praising and thanking them for what they've done for me. I'm praising and thanking God for what he's doing through me, in me, and for me. Because if we're in that spot, we see everybody how Jesus would see them. Ooh. Okay. That was off the cuff. I said, if I'm praising God, thanking him for what he is doing in me, through me, and for me, then I forget what else I said. But then you're seeing, oh, that's what I said. Then you see other people the way God sees them. Because you're seeing without color. You're seeing without that thing that's hanging in front of your face. Okay. Now we're actually going to get to the sermon. What is produced by a lifestyle of worship? What is produced? Now you can look all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament and see many examples, but I have a few. And we're going to look closely at one. Daniel 3, 13 to 18. Your faith is built up is the first point. Your faith is built up in the Lord. If you're living a lifestyle, if praise is continually on your lips, if you're bringing remembrance of what God has done, is doing, and will do, your faith will be built up. That's the only possibility. So, Daniel 3, 13 to 18. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar began speaking and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods?" Now, do you really think he had to ask that? I have these questions come to my head when I'm reading things like this. "Is it true that you don't serve my gods, nor worship the golden statue that I have set up?" Now, if you are ready, he's going to give them a second chance. How nice. "At the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, and the bagpipe, and all kinds of musical instruments, to fall down and worship the statue that I have made, then very well, we're good. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be thrown into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there?" He's laying down the gauntlet. The dumb part is he doesn't realize he's doing it with God and not with those three guys. "What God is there that can rescue you from my hand?" And I love their response. Love it. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, 'Nebuchadnezzar, we're not even in need of an answer to give you.'" They don't even need to answer concerning this matter. "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king." And then they're like, "But even if he doesn't, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods, nor worship your golden statue that you have set up." Take that. They're like, "No, we know who we are. We know who God is. We know who we are." Their focus was in the right place. When Jesus is your focus, watch and see. When Jesus is your focus, your perspective is no longer colored. It'll keep going, by the way. Your vision is no longer colored. It is only colored by who he is. They did not let any circumstance enter and hinder their faith. They knew who their God was and who they were. They said, "He can deliver us, and even if he doesn't, he's God." It was that simple for them. Now, most people would be like, "Whoa, this is gonna hurt. Being thrown into fire, has anybody ever just been burned? It hurts." It hurts. Now imagine your whole body. So do you think they had a moment of fear trying to get in? You think? Just by the way, the blue's gone if you didn't look. Do you think they had a moment of, "Huh, nope, no, I know who my God is"? Now look at this. I love this part, and we're talking about that. If they had a little bit of doubt, if they had a little bit of fear, if you have something coming your way, even good things, they still answered and said, "No, my God is my God." Because even when it tries to color your vision, your perspective, to affect your perspective, and if God is your focus, He will clear your vision and give you clarity of thought and mind and heart. He will give you vision. Whoo! So, number two. I promise we'll be done soon. You will see God's deliverance. That's the second thing that happens when you live a lifestyle of worship. Daniel 3, 23 to 25. I love this part too. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the middle of the furnace. Well, they threw them in, and by the way, all the soldiers died, if you read the whole thing. So it was a touch hot. And they were still tied up. So Nebuchadnezzar's still trying to put them in bondage. Okay. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and stood up quickly. He said to his counselors, "Was it not three men we threw and bound into the middle of the fire? Wasn't it three?" They replied, "Absolutely." He responded, "Look, I see four men untied. No bondage can keep you. Nothing can keep you when your eyes are on God. Nothing can keep you bound. Look, I see four men untied and walking about in the middle of the fire unharmed. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods." So he could even see. And that's number three. You will see the vision of others changed around you. And we can quick read that in, do I have a person up there? Yeah, number three, go. There you go, they can see it now. Now, Daniel 3:26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. He said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. Now listen to this. You servants of the Most High God." His vision has changed. You will see the vision of others around you change. You will affect those around you if your lifestyle is that of worship. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the middle of the fire. What is produced by a lifestyle of worship? Your faith will be built up. I'm going to read it this way. You will see you will see God's deliverance. You will see God's deliverance. And you will see the vision of others changed around you. Now, quick, another story, same thing. Acts 16, 23 to 30. You'll hear it all happen again. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now about midnight, after all this has happened, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. They were just beaten, and now they're thrown in jail, and they are in stocks. They are chained in, and they're praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, gotta love those, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. And everybody's chains were unfastened. Again, the bondage drops off. Again, deliverance. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself.
He knew he would be killed if he lost prisoners, so he was ready to kill himself, thinking that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul called out in a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer asked for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Your faith is built up, you will see deliverance, and you will see the vision of others changed around you. If you're living a lifestyle of worship. Now, I want you to stand with me. And I want you to put your one hand on your head, one hand on your heart. I'm so very sorry. It woke you up, though. You weren't? Good. I wasn't either. That was funny. Okay. Yes, you did. We're going to pray. And I want you to pray seriously. If there is something, after we're done with this, if there is something you would like prayer for specifically, we will do that. But we're going to pray for our mind, the perspective of our mind, and the perspective of our heart. Okay? Lord God, we thank you today that you are our source of life. You are our source of vision. You are our source of hope. You are our source for every answer that we need. We thank you, God, that you are going to break the boxes that we have built in our minds and our hearts with predetermined thoughts. Lord, I thank you that you are currently, now, actively breaking those boxes out of our hearts and out of our minds. Lord, we ask for your perspective. We ask for your vision. Lord, we thank you that you care enough for us to be patient when chiseling apart those boxes. Lord, that you are patient in bringing us new vision, in bringing us new life, in bringing us new thought processes, in bringing us your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your goodness, your self-control, and your gentleness in our hearts, in our minds, in our actions towards people. We thank you, God, that you are our source, that you are the only thing that we're going to allow to color our vision, that you are the only one that we're going to allow to color the heart that we carry around for you. Lord, we ask you that you cement this in our hearts. Lord, that you would bring it to remembrance. Lord, that we would constantly be bringing praise to you. Help us remember what you've done in, through, and for us, God. Help us to be a constant testimony of who you are. We thank you, God. Give him a praise. We thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are worthy of praise. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. If you would like prayer, we will stay up here. There, we have people to pray. Otherwise, be blessed and worship continually.